There's room in each life for only one master. If God's to rule in our lives, then our wills must be made subservient to His. Our desires must be willingly placed under His government. And we must be willing to give up anything in this life in order to please Him. Well, the issue isn't so much the desires themselves, unless we know they're unclean desires and wrong desires. The issue is who's going to be Lord of those desires? Who's going to be Lord of our goals? Who's going to be Lord of our decisions? Will we allow God to do with them as He pleases? Or will we try and manage them or manipulate the work of the Holy Spirit regarding them? And if we try to manage the work of the Holy Spirit, are we going to continue to claim that we're dying to self, allowing Jesus to be Lord of our desires when in fact we're not? See, that's where people get in trouble. This is where people really start getting in spiritual trouble. They start playing games with God. They start lying to themselves. They start lying to God. They start lying to each other. God knows our frame. He knows our struggles. He knows our weaknesses. And He has plenty of mercy and forgiveness for those who are broken and who are honest with Him regarding their problems. But when we play the hypocrite, when we say, oh, we're dying to self, and we're not, then that's when we get in trouble. God's mercy dries up. And we start facing His judgment. That's when He starts turning people over to the tormentors. Okay? Jesus also said we're to take up our cross. And of course, the common view of taking up your cross is that it means bearing burdens and suffering and hardship for the Lord, and that's certainly true. But it goes a little deeper than that. When Jesus said those words, take up your cross, He was very aware of the fact that the term cross had a very limited and specific meaning to those who heard His words. Today, the term cross can mean any number of things. But in Jesus' day, it meant only one thing. The cross was an instrument of death. It was an instrument of total sacrifice. When the disciples heard those words, they knew that Jesus was telling them they had to give up their whole life to God. Not part of it, not most of it, all of it. No part of our lives can be reserved for ourselves. Of course, you know, in Luke's account, Jesus adds the term daily, take up your cross daily. So we understand, you know, He's not just talking about a one-time commitment somewhere. It's a daily walk. Well, why is death to self so important, aside from the fact that Jesus commanded it? It's important because genuine spiritual life does not come from reading the Bible, or from learning correct doctrine, or from receiving deep revelation, from anything. Spiritual life only comes out of death. Death. If you don't die, you're not going to have life. Sorry. I don't care what you believe. I don't care how correct your doctrine is. That's why Paul said he's always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So now we're talking here, to give a general description of death to self. But you know, the problem comes in when how do you apply this all to your individual lives? See, it's very easy to say, lay down your life totally. Lay your desires down. Do this, do that. Well, when it comes to us personally, how do we each do this? See, because some people who have come out of the system who genuinely want to walk in death to self and who talk the lingo, they don't seem to have any idea how to actually do it. And they're getting in trouble. And they're getting demons coming and taking control of their lives and having God's judgment on them. Because they're out here talking to talk and not doing a walk. And some of them really don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. Well, it's unfortunate, but the question of how you personally, or me personally, how we die daily, that can't be answered by anyone else. Unless, of course, the Holy Spirit gives somebody a specific word of knowledge for somebody. You know, if God gives me a specific word of knowledge for you, I can tell you, and that's God, and, you know, you can apply it. But unless God gives somebody a specific word of knowledge for somebody else, nobody else can tell somebody how to die to self. Each person has to learn that. They have to apply that message and apply that reality to their own lives and their own particular circumstances. Nobody can do that for you. But there seems to be a lot of confusion here. Like we said last week, people end up trying to be like a robot and have Jesus dictate everything, every little thing they do in their lives. They think that's taking up the cross. And I want you to notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, He told His disciples, He said, take up your cross and follow Me. You take up your cross. He didn't tell His disciples to pray to Him and ask Him to put the cross on them. It's not God's job to put the cross on us. It's our job to pick it up. Okay? It was the disciples' responsibility to take up their own cross. It is not the job of the Holy Spirit to continually tell us every minute of every day when to say no to our flesh, when to say no to our self-life, when to say no to our self-will, or to the desires and the thoughts that come into our brains, come into our hearts. See, the problem with many of us, or many of the people who've come out of the system and are talking the lingo here, is that they're spiritually lazy. They want God to do all the work. You know, we would love it if the Holy Spirit gave us this big, long list of do's and don'ts. Just obey these, and you'll be okay, see? That way, we wouldn't have to use our mind too much. We wouldn't have to check our motives. We wouldn't have to do any work. We wouldn't have to check our motives. We wouldn't have to check our hearts. We wouldn't have to search our lives and search our motives and look and, you know, and analyze and things. We wouldn't have to do any of that stuff. Just obey what's on the list. Do this, don't do that. That's what we would like, because we're lazy. We wouldn't have to seek for truth. We wouldn't have to knock and be persistent and look and discern and, you know, analyze and all the things you have to do to figure out what you do, what's going on in your heart. Well, sorry, that's not the way it works. God isn't going to do the work that you and I can do, but we're too lazy to do. He will only do the work for us that we can't do for ourselves. If we don't use our own minds to judge things, if we don't search our own hearts and motives honestly, that's very important. If we don't really want to know the truth, because we have the suspicion that the price is going to be too high if we get the truth, then we're going to lose in the long run. We're not going to have the truth. We're going to walk around blind. And after many years, I'm telling you, I've become convinced that the biggest reason people who know the death to self message, the biggest reason they know the message but have a problem walking in it, isn't because they don't know how. It's because they're not willing to pay the price to hear the truth that they need to hear to walk in the vision they've embraced. They don't really want to know the truth. So they try and pass the responsibility for finding out the truth back on God. And tell you, I want God to lead me. I want God to just tell me everything to do today. Tell me what to wear. Tell me how to do this. I don't want, you know, tell me when to say no. Tell me when to say no, Lord. That's not it. God wants you to say no. He wants you to search your own heart, search your own motives, and say no on your own. Not because he's telling you to say no. That produces robots, not willing servants. People don't want to know the truth, so they try and pass responsibility back to God. And he's not going to have any of it. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to have any of it. People who try to play that game, they're going to get burnt. And God's going to let them walk around blind forever. Now, when it comes to death to self, there's many areas of our lives. I mean, we all know the big things. There's sin, you don't have to sin, and drinking and smoking and gambling and swearing and backbiting and all that kind of stuff. We're aware of that. We're aware of some things about the self-life. You don't, you know, if you want to go out and get a big job and you got to put that before the Lord, some of these big things we're aware of, but there's a lot of little things in our lives that we're completely blind to. We have no idea it's selfishness or self-aggrandizement or self-seeking. We have no idea that some of the things we're doing are feeding the self-life instead of putting it to death. There's things that we do every day that need to be put to death, but because we have no idea those things are wrong, that they're hindering us, we just keep doing them. You have no idea they constitute self-indulgence. We just think they're normal, they're right, there's nothing wrong with them, and so we keep doing them. We never put them to death because you never even suspect they're wrong. And God's not going to give us a 3D vision or send an angel from heaven to tell us or give us some audio voice out of the clouds, audible voice, and, you know, to get our attention and say, hey, this thing that you think is normal, that's actually feeding your self-life. Stop it. He's not going to do that. It's our job to search out the truth. It's our job to honestly, and again, I say it's important because most people, they're not honest with themselves. They're not honest with God, and they're not honest with their brethren. They don't want to pay the price. They say they do, and deep down inside, they don't. It's our job to honestly look at our own lives, to honestly look at every area of our own lives, and ask the Lord to show us, as we're searching, if there's anything we need to put to death that we would never even suspect of being wrong. That's the only way you're going to find out how to walk in death to self. You just can't look at your life and say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I'm pretty good and I don't think there's anything more there for death to self to do. I think I'm pretty dead right now. I mean, if that's the way you're going to walk, you're never going to get any truth. We all have things in our lives that we're blind to, we need help with, and the only way you're going to find them out is if you start searching yourself and then ask God to show you as you're searching. If you're waiting for God to come down and give you a 3D vision, give you some kind of, you know, audible voice, forget it. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do for us what we can do ourselves, but will not do. I'm telling you, he will never do that. And that's what most people want. So we have to look at every area of our lives, what we're doing every day, honestly, and then ask the Lord as we're doing that to show us if anything that we think is normal, perfectly fine, if there's anything there that's actually feeding the self-life. It's actually keeping us from going on to growing spiritually. That's the way to find out the truth. That's the way to learn how to walk in death to self. And if you don't do that, you'll never learn, because nobody else can teach you. Only the Holy Spirit knows our position, our situation, the heart of condition of our heart, the condition. Only God knows that. And unless he shares something with somebody else, we'll never know. So you got to get it from God. But he's not going to pour it on you like rain. You got to search and seek and ask and judge without us taking the initiative, without us first searching our own lives honestly, with a heart that's willing to pay whatever price is required to hear the truth. God will not show us the truth. And we can play that game 30, 40, 50 years until we drop dead, go out to eternity blind. We've got to understand that it's not the Holy Spirit's job to shove the truth down our throats. It's not his job to put the cross on us. It's our job to pick up the cross and willingly carry it. We have to have a desire to know the truth about ourselves, not doctrinal truth, not about the apostasy, not about what all those other morons out there are doing, the truth about ourselves. We've got to be willing to hear things about ourselves that are not pleasant. And we've got to be willing to let God point out things that we do every day that seem normal, that seem fine, but which are feeding our egos, our self-lives, or something else, and which are hindering us from growing. And you got to be willing to hear those things about yourself. You got to be willing to hear things that cause pain, that cause humiliation, that cost money. I mean, you got to be willing to pay whatever price it takes to hear the truth and be set free. That's all there is to it. And anybody that's not willing to pay that price, they're not going to hear the truth. They can say they want to hear the truth till they drop dead. God knows the truth. God knows the hearts. He knows who's playing games, who's not. I say this again. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Whose responsibility is it to seek? If you want to find, what do you got to do? You got to seek. It's our responsibility. And if we don't seek, or if we don't seek with an honest heart that's willing to pay the price that's required to find the truth, we'll never find it. You can seek till you drop dead. You're never going to find the truth. He also said, knock. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Whose responsibility is it to knock? It's ours, not his. If we don't knock, if we don't knock with an honest heart, nothing's going to be opened up to us. I'm not trying to be hard on people. God loves us, and he wants us to have his best. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But God's best is not free, people. It is not free. It is very costly. And Jesus wants to show us the truth about ourselves that will enable us to obtain God's best, which he is offering us. He wants to show us those things about ourselves that will set us free, that we don't know, we're ignorant of, they're blind to. He wants to show us the truth that we need to know about ourselves that will help us deny ourselves, will help us take up our cross, so that we'll, in the end, we will win the prize that he's offering us. He wants to show us the truth about ourselves that we need to know in order to get completely out of Egypt, completely out of Egypt's territory, and so far away from Egypt that there's no way we'll ever return. And God is faithful. He can do that. If we want to know the truth, if we're genuinely seeking the truth and we're willing to pay the price, whatever price it takes to get the truth and walk in it, I'm telling you, God will be faithful to show you the truth. He will move heaven and earth to show us the truth so we can obtain the full inheritance that he is offering us, that he wants us to have. But we cannot get it any other way than his way. He's not going to make any shortcuts for anybody. He's not going to make any special exceptions for anybody. The prize is open to anybody, but there's only one way to get it, and every single person must go that road to get it. So God does love us, and it's important we know that. It's important we know that he wants to give us his best. That's his desire. That's his heart. But we can't try and fool God. That's stupid, because he knows the deepest secrets of our hearts. He knows our situation. He knows it all. And he knows if we're really willing to pay the price that's required, or if we're just a bunch of hypocrites and we're just talking a good talk. You know, if we say we want to know the truth, whatever the truth it costs, whatever the price, so we can be free from self, be free from the world, be free from sin, attain the high calling, attain the prize. But it's not really true. God knows that. And if we're not shown the truth, if we walk around and ask him to see the truth, and we tell everybody, I'm asking God to show me the truth, I want to say, but if you don't, if you never see the truth, then you gotta know that it's only one reason. It's because God sees it deep down in the heart. There's not a willingness to actually receive the truth we're saying we want to have, okay? We're not willing to pay the price to get that kind of truth. Even though we think we are, even though we say we are, we're not. And he's going to deal with us according to what is the reality of our situation, the reality of our heart, not what we say, not the, you know, the kind of facade we put on. So it's very important that we're honest with God, that we get up to a place where we're willing to pay any price it's going to cost to hear the truth about ourselves that's going to set us free from the world, from self, from sin, so we can gain the prize that God wants us to have, that Jesus purchased by his blood on the cross, and that we can have if we'll do it his way. Amen? I'm going to share some personal experience. I didn't write these down in my notes because I don't want people taking my notes. Somebody doesn't believe this doctrine or something. The one we take my notes and say, here, he wrote this. He wrote this. You can't go on the high court unless you do this. You can't go on the high court unless you do that. Okay? I don't want that on my notes. So I'm just going to give you some personal examples. I'm not going to name any names. Just give you some examples of what, you know, God has helped us, enabled us to help people to learn how to die to self. I can't tell you the mic. I can't tell you the phone. I can't tell you the email. But if you come and live with me, if you come and live with us, and it's God's will, many times God shows us things and allows us to help people see the blind spots that they're in. You know, so I just give you a couple examples that you probably wouldn't think about. But, you know, maybe if you hear some examples of somebody else, maybe you, something might click. You know, I'm not laying this out as a rule, saying because this person had to do this, everybody in the room, everybody hears my voice, has to do this. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm just giving you some examples that people would never think of that inflate and help the self-life. They never thought of that because it's just, they grew up that way. It seems natural. It's the culture. And they would never thought that this thing is wrong. Because morally speaking, in a moral sense, it's not wrong. But it was wrong for them because it was keeping them in a place where it was feeding their something, their ego, their self-will, selfishness, self-anger and drives them to whatever. Just give you a couple examples. One was a sister. God had to speak to her about shaving her legs. Okay, she shaved her legs every 2 days or 3 days or whatever it was. Now, I'm not telling every woman in the room here, you got to walk around with hairy legs, okay? I'm just saying for this one person, what was a normal thing, she got that from the world. That's what the world tells you to do. If you're a lady, you shave your legs, okay? These things have to do with the body. This isn't doctrine. This isn't great sins. There's a lot of things we do with our personal body that help keep the door open to flesh, to self, to demons, okay? And for one of these ladies, one thing was she had to stop shaving her legs. Another thing was some person was just committed from the time they were a baby, they were taught this, you had to take a bath or take a shower every day, okay? Whether whether the guy stank or whether they worked or sweated or not, doesn't matter. You had to take a shower every day because that's the way they're raised. That's what the world does it. And it turned out that that thing was something that was keeping them focused on the flesh and keeping them in the flesh and keeping them from dying to self. A couple came here one time and they were bound to 3 meals a day. They came off some kind of community. And in that community, you had 3 meals a day, no matter what. You had breakfast, you had lunch, and you had supper. That's it. And there was not an inkling, not one little inkling that anything could ever be wrong with having 3 meals a day. But it was in their case. They were in bondage to that. And it was feeding their flesh. And it was keeping them out of the spirit. Okay, and God showed us that. And when they stopped that, they got some kind of release. I'm just giving you examples, okay? There's a lot of things that we do, especially in our own personal life, take care of our own personal body, that we think are normal, that we've actually picked up from the world, from the culture. It's a cultural thing, and we don't know it. See, you don't have to take a bath every day or take a shower every day if you're not sweating and working and stinking. That's the culture tells you that. You don't have to brush your teeth every time you eat. That's the culture tells you that. There's lots of things that we do that we get from the world. We get from the culture. We don't even think to ask God, is that you, Lord? Every part of our lives, people, must be under the government of God. Not just our doctrine, not just our desires and goals, not just our relationships, our own body. And I think the body is one of the areas where people are most blind about. They're most blind because we pick up all this stuff from the culture of what's right, what's wrong, what's acceptable, what you should do. And you never even think for a second that, hey, that could be wrong. Well, I'm not going to go on. You get the idea, right? If you want to find the subtle things that's in our lives that all of us have, that might keep us in the flesh or keep the life of God from coming forth, you got to be able to look at everything, not just doctrine, not just all those fools out there in the religious world going to apostasy, not just the big sins, not just the horrible things, but the things that the culture says is neutral. See, you can't follow the culture. Anybody who follows the culture of this country, especially the last 10 years, is nuts. You're insane. The culture's right down the gutter. The culture's as wicked as Satan is. Our culture must be defined by the scripture. I don't care how prudish it sounds. I don't care how, you know, uptight and what it seems. Our culture, the culture we live in, must be according to the Bible, not according to American culture or anybody else, or Western culture, any kind of Western culture. That's crazy. The cultures are all going to hell in a handbasket. They're all demon-possessed. And, of course, we see that with the most, you know, obvious evil. But, you know, some of these things, three meals a day, this and that, those things seem normal. We grew up with them. They're part of the American culture. We never even question them. And those are the kinds of things Satan likes to hide behind, the things you'll never question, the things you'll never look at. He likes to hide there and laugh because we're trying to grow and we're hindered and we can't find out why we're being hindered. Is it this? Is it that? So now I'm talking about normal people here. Now I'm not talking about people who've been involved with religious spirits. If you've been involved with religious spirits, then God has a sort of a different walk for you. You're going to find out how to walk in death to self a different way. But I'm talking about normal Christians, normal people who are in the church system. They don't get grounded and founded in the basic doctrines. They don't even know what it means to come out of Egypt. They're not told they ever have to come out of Egypt. They come out, you know, out of the system out here, and they get all this lingo, and they're talking the lingo, but they're not walking in the walk, and they just get destroyed, and it's a shame. So, I mean, that's basically all I had tonight. It was very short. I just wanted to point that out, that it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to take up a cross, our responsibility to look at our own lives, every single area, to see whether we're being influenced by the world, by the culture, by the enemies, by demons, by our own selfish wills, our own selfish desires, whatever. It's our responsibility to look. It's God's responsibility to get the truth to us, but it's our responsibility to look. And if we don't look and search, God's not going to show us the truth because he's not responsible to. Okay? That was basically it. Just something to think about, okay? Alrighty. Anybody, Joey, anybody have anything to share tonight? Oh, okay. She said mom's coming. I guess mom has something to share. Amen. Got it?
Yeah. Okay. Hi, everyone. What an excellent teaching. As I listened to Daniel teaching something, the Lord brought something to my remembrance, and something that he made very real to me. And I just wanted to share one scripture in Revelation. And I know you're all familiar with this, but I want to share it and what it means to me. It's in Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now, years ago, the Lord spoke to me about different kinds of worship. There are different ways that we can worship God. And one way we can worship him is really death to self. Because as we try to die to ourself and be conformed to the image of Christ and let Christ come forth in us and let Jesus be seen in us, this is a form of worship. And John was being told here to measure the people that are worshiping at the altar of incense. Those people who are going on to perfection. Those people who are trying to die to self to come forth in the image of Jesus. Measure those people. Those people that were in the holy place and went by or going past the holy place even up to the golden altar of incense. He says measure them. Measure them and see how they're worshiping. Measure their worship. See how they're worshiping me. You know, we're being measured. God is measuring our lives. He's measuring us how we are worshiping him through our lives, through laying our life down and through trying to come forth in the image of Jesus. He's measuring us. He's measuring us and that are worshiping there. Not just worshiping what we know as worship to get on our knees and enter into a real state of praise and worship. But we can worship God by our lives. We worship him by laying down our life for him. We worship him by taking up our cross. We worship him by dying to self and allowing the image of Jesus Christ to be formed in us. That's a real form of worship. And John was told to measure those. Not measure those that are in the holy place necessarily or in the outer court, but those that have gone on to the golden altar of incense, which represents death to self, laying down your life, intercessory prayer. Measure those. I want them measured to see who is really laying down their life, who is really dying to self, who is really coming forth in the image of Jesus. Measure them. we're being measured. I believe with all my heart we're being measured. Our death to self is being measured. And Daniel gave a wonderful explanation of how to enter into death to self. And I just praise the Lord for that. And that was just on my mind, the scripture, that we're being measured. God's watching our life. He's watching our daily life. He's watching if we're willing to lay down vanity and everything else that affects us. He's watching us, and he's measuring us. And those that measure up will be part of his two witness company, because he'll give them power. If they measure up to what he's asked them to measure up to, they'll be part of that two witness company. And it says God will give power, a special power, a special power. You know, on a day of Pentecost, Peter could stand up and say, this is that. This is what the prophet Joel spoke about when he said God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. This is that. This is that, because he had that word in his heart. He knew that Joel had prophesied that. And when it happened, they didn't know what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. But when it happened, they knew. They knew, and they could say, this is that. This is what the prophet Joel talked about. And I want to tell you, if you pay the price and you measure up to God's conditions, when he gives that power to two witnesses, you'll know it. You'll be able to say, this is that. This is that. This is what God said he would give me if I would measure up. You'll know. You'll know when the time comes for God to give his power to those two witness company, and you'll be able to say, this is that. This is what John was talking about. This is the power that he said he would give to his two witnesses to be real witnesses for him through a ministry of judgment at the end of this age. That's it. Shalom.
Amen. Good word, Ma. Thank you. Alrighty. Well, anybody have anything to share? Anything to add or questions or anything? All right. Well, I appreciate y'all coming, and I guess we'll shut her down. So I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, the river don't rise, eh?